各位也可以就五天的讲座提出比较广泛的问题，我们可以一起讨论。
Yeah, this question is one-on-one. Please.
Thank you. My first question is about how to define globalization, especially when it comes to relationship with globalization. We know that the world growth and the divide and the relation between the relationship between globalization and the greatest change. So,
Globalization has two components or two dimensions. One is an objective, one is a subjective.
全球化有两个维度，一个是主观的，一个是客观的。
The objective is increasing interconnectedness of all societies, all flows, all networks, all relations in the world. So it's a process.
一个客观的就是说增加社团之间外在的这些他们互相的关系就全世界方面的来说，所以是一个过程。
The subjective is for me the more important one.
对我来说主观比较重要。
Which is the increasing awareness.
就是越来越强的一种意识。
Of being one single humanity sharing the same spaceIn the globe and having the same global history.
就是作为一个个人，我们与全球都是一体的，我们与全球共有一个历史。
Now, once you define globalization in those terms, the question is when does globalization begin? And the definition, when does it begin? If you think it began in 1980, you'll have a very different idea than if it began, let's say, in 1960. I have a very broad view of globalization.
我们有一个可以有一个很广泛的一个看法。
Globalization has three main phases.
那么这个全球化有三个主要的表现方式。
The first phase,
第一个
is the original global migration of Homo sapiens.
这个全球化的第一个阶段就是非洲的人口从非洲移民出来，这个讲的是在远古时候。
But of course this phase has no subjective consciousness. And only now we can reconstruct this historyThrough DNA technologies and genetic technologies.
当然，在这个第一个阶段的时候，没有主观的意识。我们是经过了到现在科学，用通过 DNA 等等东西，才重建了这个过程。
The second phase is what I precisely the axial revolution.
第二个阶段就是我所说的轴心，从轴心显示时代。
Because this is the phase when many in different parts of the world.In many civilizations, the awareness of universality, of universal human principles emerges.
因为在这个时候，在同时，在全世界各地，伟大的思想家开始意识到，开始感觉到有一个普世性的一些原则。
As I mentioned, Confucius does not develop Chinese ethics for the Chinese.
就如同我上次提到的，孔夫子他并不是对中国人的一些伦理学家。
Those are ethics for humanity, for all of humanity.
他所提出来这些伦理原则是对所有的人类。
And the same goes for Socrates and Plato.
同时对苏格拉底对柏拉图也是一样
and the same goes for Buddha
还有释迦牟尼
and the same goes for the Old Testament prophet Isaiah
同时还有对以赛亚就是那个旧约圣经里面的预言的先知
in this respect
在这一方面
these, all these ethical religious breakthroughs
这些不管是在伦理上或者宗教上的重大突破
anticipated the human consciousness of the global humanity.
他们都预示了，人类意识上面会有一种大的解放。
But there were no objective structural conditions to realize the idea.
但是在那个时候还没有一个客观的情况、客观的条件来实现他们这些想法。
So you have a first phase purely structural objective global expansion without consciousness, second consciousness without the structural possibilities.
所以这两个阶段在第一个阶段是有行动但是没有意识第二个阶段是有意识但是没有客观的条件
The two come together in our age of globalization
到了我们的时代这两者合而为一
But then when does this age begin? For me, it begins really with the global European colonial expansion
对于我来说，这个是真正开始的时候，是在欧洲的全世界的这个殖民主义开始的时候。
But only in the last 20 years.
但是只有在过去二十年。
They through media revolutions, technological, scientific revolutions, the fall of the Soviet system and the formation of global capitalist markets, the structural possibilities.Of objective globalization and this objective consciousness have come together.
但是只有在过去二十年之间，通过了种种的情况，包括媒体，包括整个世界上发生的一些事情，我们才把这个主观的意识和这个客观条件整个合在一起，一起发生。
But for me, it's important to emphasize the axial age.
但最重要的是这个轴心时代。
To counter models of globalization as one single homogeneous global society or one single global human culture.
把它看作是一个整个的一个同质性的人类文化。
Universality emerges in human history as pluralistic.
那么这个普世化在人类的历史中出现的时候是一种多数的复数的情况形式出现的
and I want to make emphasis on these particularistic universalisms
我要在这儿强调的是一种特殊性的普世性
and in cosmopolitan theories
在一个宇宙论的这个理论里面
the thing there will be one single cosmopolitan culture and civilization
就应该有一个唯一的一个一个文明一个文化。
As to the other is too much. I am a historical sociologist. I follow Max Weber, particularly here, the importance of the comparative method. Now, what was the problem with Max Weber comparative sociology of world religions? That he understood these world religions as essences.Each of them separate from one another that have existed independent of one another. What the analysis I have presented today indicates that this very world religion and the very conception of religion has only emerged in the last 400 years, precisely in the global colonial encounter and exchange.And so it means not to compare separate histories to see which history leads where, but to see global history, modern global history, as interconnected histories.
所以我们现在要看的不是说个别的历史，每一个历史往什么方向走，而是从一个全球化的整体的角度来考虑，在这个当中各种历史是如何的互相关联。那么这个字宗教这个字，其实也就是在过去四百年间随着殖民主义的出现而出现的。简单一点。
I'm sorry, you have no sentence.
Please. 谢谢教授。今天的讲演，五天的讲演，实际上今天教授的讲演是把当代社会理论当当代社会理论当中两个最重要的概念——本真性和承认。
Today you have put together two very important concepts. One is authenticity, the other one is recognition.
Yeah. 再到关于政教社会学的宏大的历史和比较的视野当中。
You draw that into the view of this gigantic scope of comparative sociology.
实际上，这两个中心概念在查斯泰勒的论文《The Politics of Recognition》和哈伦马斯对《Creativity's Format》《The Struggle for Cognition》当中有非常仔细的诠释。
Actually, these two concepts have been carefully explained in these two works that you just cited.
但是在无论是泰勒、查斯泰勒还是亨奈这个论辩当中。如何去实现 mutual authentic mutual recognition 实际上是极其困难的。
But in their words, they postulate that it's extremely difficult to realize the mutual recognition of authenticity.
因为现实语境是很多的承认，要么是 misrecognition 错误承认。
Because in reality, we have either misrecognition,
要么是不承认 ，no recognition,
or yes, no recognition.
所以教授医生，因为您的方案，实现宗教对话和宽容的目标，是为了相互的正确的承认。那么如何去实现这些
？So in your view, how do we accurately to realize or to recognize all these?
Obviously, you are a very careful scholar of Charles Taylor, and I'm very happy. I will tell him that he has admirers in China. Charles Taylor and we are very close friends. We see each other a lot and we work together. So I tell him. And the same thing with Axel Honneth, he's also a very close friend. Yes.
我很显然方老师是对于 Charles Taylor 非常熟悉的学者，我会转告给他。Charles Taylor 的另外一个学者跟我都是好朋友，我们经常在一起，他们一定会很高兴知道在中国他们有这么知心的读者。
It is true that I obviously those are concepts taken from them. The concept of authenticity, of course, is both are German concepts that come from the German.Idealistic tradition.
当然，这两个词都是从德国的观念里面，从德国的这个 idealistic 这种理想性的这个主义观念里面出来的。
Adorno had written the famous book Jargon der Eigentlichkeit, the Jargon of Authenticity.
No.
Adorno, philosopher, Theodor Adorno, one of the Frankfurt School, had written the famous critique of Heidegger.In the 30s, jargon their identity, namely the jargon of authenticity.
Okay. 那么这位哲学家他在1930年代写了一本书，叫做 Jargon of Authenticity， 就是authenticity 本真性的一些jargon 就是术语。
And this is a concept that then has been taken in many different contexts, in one of them by Charles Taylor, but it's a positive development.
但是在 Charles Taylor 里头，他也有一个非常正面的发展。
The concept of authenticity in Charles Taylor is linked to what he calls the romantic kind of term expression in modern individualism, in contrast to the utilitarian rational calculative one.
那在现在的这些哲学里面，他也引导向一种那个功利主义。
They put the emphasis on the authentic self-expression of the self.The self finding its true self.
那么它的重点就放在自我最终成为了自我，这是自我的一种表现。
And then Charles Taylor has transferred this concept to groups.
Charles Taylor 把这个把这个这种观念又转化到了群体。
Groups, the process of mutual recognition of groups.
就是这个彼此认知的这个在群体之中彼此认知的这个过程。
And of course, the concept of recognition is an old Hegelian concept in the struggle of master and slave, and the process of recognition between master and slave that has become central for all the dynamics of recognition of antagonists.
当然，就是这个互相认识的这个观念是一个古老的观念，在黑格尔的这个理论里面就已经出现。他那个时候出现的一个情景就是这个主人跟奴隶主，奴隶主跟奴隶之间的互相的认识，他们出现的是一种敌对的状态。
I do not have a philosophy of history that uses this concept as central to my idea. I do not have a philosophy of history that uses these concepts as central to my vision of history.
对，我自己并没有那个哲学的历史上面这种专长，可以把这个放在我的那个研究里面当做一个核心。
So in this respect, I do not use these concepts systematically.
所以在这里我并没有一个非常系统性的来使用这些词。
But almost in the common sense way in which we use them, also in our ordinary practices of mutual recognition.
而是我用的是一种比较常识性的一种用法，在我们互相之间的认识之间，这样才用这个用法。
Now I agree with you completely.
我完全同意你。
That both processes, the one of developing an authentic self.
这个两个过程，一个是要发展一个具有本真性的自我。
And individuals and groups recognizing each other.
那么个体以及团体都互相认识。
Are extremely difficult.
极度困难。
One could say utopian, transcendent ideals, processes.
这可以说是一个乌托邦，一个极度理想化的一个超越性的情况。
But the question is always, do we see the glass half empty or half full?
可是又回到这个很古老的问题，我们是看到这个半杯水，就是半杯空的水，还是半杯满的水？
I have a tendency.To see the glass always half full.
我的倾向于是看这个杯子是半满的。
Not only because perhaps my authentic self demands optimism.
它并不只是因为我自己本身的这个本真性对我要求有一个终极。
But more importantly, because I believe that our theories, all sociological theories, and all our articulations, all our discourse.
而且我是相信我们的理论，所有社会学理论以及这种理论的阐述
，have always an element of self-fulfilling prophecies.
一直都有一种因素，这种因素是一种自我实现的预言性的因素。
Pragmatically, the conception of pragmatic truth.
比方像是这个pragmatic truth， 怎么
<Yes.
S 1> 有没有实用主义的真理
？How we define reality.
我们怎么样来定义真理？
Has pragmatic consequences.
有一个实用性的一个结果。
And it is like with a class of civilization.
就好像是我们是文明的课。
One can emphasize the class of civilization.
一个我们可以强调文明。
Or one can emphasize the recognition, the mutual recognition of civilization.
或者我们可以强调对于文明的认识。
I prefer to eventually be proven wrong in my optimism, but perhaps I have contributed to the recognition.
我希望到最后我能够被证明会是错误的，但是我还是抱持一种乐观的想法，就是对于文明的认识这种坚持。
Rather than be proven right from the very beginning in my pessimism.
而我要是从一开始就被证明我的这种悲观主义是正确的。
Of course, recognition is global recognition. We know it. We see the conflicts every day.
当然，我们知道这种认知是一种全球性的认知。
But there is a fundamental insight of Hegel, in of Hegel, the philosopher Hegel, the fundamental insight, and taken by the sociologist Georg Simmel.
但是我们知道，黑格尔有一个特别的拙见，有一个特别的洞识。
The conflict itself,
这个冲突本身
is a process, is part of the process of recognition.
也就是认识的过程之一。